Hey, I'm going to throw a word out to you this morning, and I want you to just kind of paint a picture in your mind when I say this word. Courage. What comes to your mind? Maybe what came to your mind was something like this.
I am William Wallace, and I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Right? Against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live. Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Seem quite optimistic to me. Maybe they do want to fight.
Seem pretty optimistic to me. Well, maybe that's what came to your mind. Courage. William Wallace. Mel Gibson. Riding in front of the armies of England. What an awesome display of what it means to rally around a cause and show courage. But I know how some of you are. You tend to go the opposite direction. You think of something totally different when the word courage comes up. Maybe for you, it looks something like this.
Lion. Well.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Frightening him like that when he came to you for help.
Silence, whippersnapper. The beneficent Oz has every intention of granting your requests.
What's that? What'd he say? Huh? What'd he say?
But first, you must prove yourselves worthy by performing a very small task. Bring me the broomstick of the Witch of the West.
But if we do that, we'll have to kill her to get it.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your requests. Now go.
But what if she kills us first?
I said go!
For every ounce of courage, there's an ounce of fear, isn't there? In fact, if there is no fear, there's no courage. No need to be courageous if you don't have any fear. And I think one of the things that keeps us from being courageous is we think that that means that we have no fear. And that's just not the case. One of the great illustrations of that in the Bible is Simon Peter. Now, no doubt about it, Simon Peter had a lot of unique characteristics, a little bit different than some of the other disciples, but there were times in his life when he demonstrated fear. And you would think that walking with Jesus all those years, that the furthest thing from the minds of the disciples and the followers of Jesus would be fear. at carrying out his cause. But that's what happened. And shortly after the resurrection, the Bible says, in fear of the Jews, the disciples hid themselves. But just a few weeks later, we find Peter and John amazing the people of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, at their courage. And they recognized that these men were followers of Jesus. The scripture says that they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. And that relationship instilled not just times of fear about what might happen, but great times of courage as they saw God at work around them. And so I want you this morning to think about your fear, but only in the context of how God can give you courage in the midst of that fear to walk with Him. Let's give ourselves a definition of courage this morning that we can work with. One that works with the reality of fear. It admits that fear is a reality, but places our confidence in the provision of God to act in the face of that fear so that we can act out simple acts of service, simple acts of courage each week. Courage defined as this: placing my confidence in God and taking action in the face of my fear. Placing my confidence in God and taking action even in the face of my fear. One of the great places that is illustrated for us is in the book of Joshua. If you had opened to Joshua chapter 1 this morning, I want us to read what might be for many a very familiar story, but I want us to see this blend of fear and courage and how it plays out in the life of Joshua, how it also plays out in the life of the Israelites. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the scripture says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Some pretty powerful words at the beginning of this chapter if you're Joshua. If you're the children of Israel, God speaks to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now that might not mean very much to you, might not mean very much to me. But think if you were Joshua. See, you had followed Moses most of your adult life. You hadn't gone anywhere that there wasn't Moses there. If you're the nation of Israel for the last 20 years, for the last 40 years, Moses has been your leader. Everywhere you went, he was there. And he listened to God. And you rebelled from time to time, but came back from time. But Moses was your leader. And for Joshua, Moses was his mentor. And now all of a sudden, God is saying to Joshua, not to ignore the obvious, Joshua, but Moses, my servant, is dead. I'm not talking to Moses anymore. I'm talking to you. Moses isn't leading these people anymore. You are. I'm not discouraged. I'm not afraid. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be afraid. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. There's a turning point in the history of Israel. And in that moment, they had a chance. They had a chance to do exactly what their forefathers had done. And that is embrace fear. The only reason that they're crossing the Jordan River now is because 40 years ago, their forefathers refused to cross the Jordan out of fear. Only two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah. They all agreed with the report. There's giants in the land. But two of them said, so what? Because God is with us. But in fear, the children of Israel rebelled. Rebelled in the face of God's promise. Rebelled with the fresh history of crossing the Red Sea. I mean, it's not like they hadn't seen God work. They rebelled. And now here we go again. Now their children, without the great leader Moses, without any fresh memory of the Red Sea, without any fresh memory of the deliverance of God, now their leader Joshua, like that's like getting second best. Joshua. Now their leader Joshua stands before them. And he says, what your forefathers would not do out of fear, I now call upon you to do out of courage. Where does that kind of courage come from? Where does that kind of confidence to take action in spite of your fears, in the face of your fears? Where does that courage come from? How does it develop? Well, let's look at this passage and learn a few lessons about demonstrating courage. First of all, first lesson we learn is that I'm courageous when I'm responding to the presence of God. I'm courageous when I'm responding to the presence of God. And you know, it takes courage to respond to the presence of God. To realize that God is with me. You know, you don't have to ask God to be with you. He is with you. He's everywhere. And I know sometimes we pray and we say, God, be with us. And I understand what we're saying. But you know what? We really don't have to pray that. It would be maybe even better to pray and say, God, thank you for being with us. But just knowing that He's there and acknowledging that can in itself be an act of courage to realize that I'm in the presence of a God to whom I'm accountable. I'm in the presence of God who created me. And I can have this conversation, this ongoing intimate relationship with the God who created the universe. And that's what happens with Joshua. Don't take it lightly. The scripture says that the Lord said to Joshua. Now, how'd that happen? Well, because Joshua was responding to the presence of God. And God was talking with Joshua just like He had talked with Moses. Over in Exodus 33:11, the scripture says that God would talk to Moses face to face, breath to breath, God would talk to Moses as a man talks with a friend. Now, I wonder how many of us would be courageous enough to approach God with that kind of relationship, to actually take the steps in our life to have a friendship with God, where God is talking to us and we're talking to God. But sometimes we won't do that. And the reason we won't do that is because we don't have the courage to do that. And it's because we have fear. What would God say? You know, there have been a few times in my life when I talked to God and I didn't really like what He told me. And so I'm afraid that if I go back to God, if I nurture that relationship with Him, He might tell me some more stuff that I don't want to hear. He might point out some things in my life that He doesn't want me to do anymore. Or He might point out some things that He wants me to start doing. And I fear what it would be like to respond to the presence of God. Well, what would have happened here had the children of Israel not responded? Well, they would have walked in the same old sorry life that they had for 40 years, maybe for the rest of their lives. And they would have missed God's best for them. What happens when we have the courage to walk and respond to the presence of God? Is that over time our love for God grows and is nourished. And while there still may be a healthy fear of God, we become courageous in knowing that God is with us. Just as He was with Moses, just as He is with Joshua, God is with us. And that growing relationship of love that takes place, the Bible says that that kind of perfect love cast out fear. We're able with reverence, with a holy fear, if you will, to walk courageously with God. That's part of what it means to have confidence in God. To overcome our fear and to be courageous is to realize God is with us. Listen to these words and think of what they must have meant to Joshua in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Powerful passage of Scripture. I will never leave you means as you go on your journey to the promised land, I'll be with you all along the way. I'll not abandon you. But it goes beyond that. Not only He says, will I not leave you, which means I'll be with you all along the way. But He says, I won't forsake you. That is, when we get there, I'm not going to leave you then either. From the beginning to the end, your whole life, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I remember there have been a couple of situations in my life where I've been placed in a position to be the boss of someone who either used to have that position or no longer had it but was still underneath that position in terms of authority. Some of you have been in that situation where you go in to take control of a situation and the people that were removed, they're still there under you. And I remember one of those particular times before I came to Hill Country, I had a situation that I had to confront the person who used to hold my position. And it was a pretty serious issue. And I can just remember trembling basically in my office, knowing what I was going to have to do. Because basically I hate confrontation. And I just remember praying, God, I'm fixing to walk over to this guy's office. And I'm fixing to have to talk with him about something that nobody wants to be talked to about. But it has to be done. And so I'm just praying, would you go with me? Would you be with me? Would you give me the words to say? Strengthen me for something that I just cannot do. And I got up from my desk and I started walking to that office. And it was like I could just feel God with His arm around me. Almost as though God was saying, let's go do this together. And so we went to His office and I sat down in the chair. kind of set up, you know, and it was like I could feel God's hand on my shoulder. I'm right here, pal. I'm right here. And, man, it was a meeting unlike I had anticipated. And it was obvious that God was in control. And the courage to face the fear came with a confidence that God was there. God was there. And so we get that confidence because we know God is with us. We know He's present. Courage shows up in a different way. It shows up when we obey the laws of God all the time. When we obey the laws of God all the time. One of the very first verses of Scripture that I ever memorized was Joshua 1:8. I can still remember that. I was a teenager, and that was a powerful passage of Scripture for me. And here, God says in verse 8, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." The courage to obey the law of God all the time in our life. You know, we live in a culture that just refuses to admit that this is truth. Not some of it truth, all of it truth. And if there is a God in whose presence we live, and if this is His word, which is totally true, why would we not want to live by it all of the time? Because we're fearful. We're fearful that maybe some of it isn't true. We're fearful that if I do what's true, maybe bad consequences will come my way. Maybe I'll be like some of these Christian brothers and sisters in Central Asia, in oppressed countries, who suffer and some of whom die for their lives if I obey God's word. And so I have fear. And in the face of that fear, I can be courageous because I know God's word is true. I know what God says. God says, look, soak this stuff up. Saturate your mind with it. Meditate on it all the time. Why? Because that changes your life. It gives you courage where you have fear. It replaces fear with courage. Because as you begin to soak up God's word and begin to apply it to your life, you begin to realize that, you know what? There is a blessing for being obedient to God's word. There is success for being obedient to God's word. There is a way in which my soul and my life prospers when I'm obedient to God's word. But you have to have courage to put it into practice. You have to have courage to step out and say, this is what God says. It doesn't seem like what everybody else would say, what everybody else would do, but it's what God says. Sometimes we're fearful because we read these words like, keep the laws of God. And we think, well, that's even kind of restrictive in my own life. That doesn't allow me to do everything that I want to do. James spoke to that in what I think is a very telling passage of Scripture for most of us. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, James says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." What a phrase. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Not restriction. Not bondage. Freedom. When we obey the laws of God, we experience a freedom that we could never have imagined. A freedom that goes beyond the false freedom that we feel when we do our own thing. Because we learned what God promised Joshua, what God promised the children of Israel. That listen, you guys Follow the word of God. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything, to obey everything I've said. Don't turn to the right or to the left. And you'll find success. And you'll find prosperity for your soul, for your life. When you have the courage to live in obedience to the word of God all the time. I know God is with me. I know His word is true. And I can also have confidence in God because I know that God has a plan for my life and I'm going to act on it. Courage is demonstrated when I act on the plan that God has for me. And so that's what Joshua did. God's plan for him was to become a leader. And so he stood up in front of the people. And I'm sure some people said, "Who is he? Hey, who's Joshua to tell us what to do?" But in verse 9, the scripture says this. Whoop, lost my place. Chapter 9, the scripture says this. "Have I not commanded you," God speaking, "have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God says, "Haven't I commanded you that?" "Yes, sir." Well, then, and so what did Joshua do? Then Joshua commanded, same word, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. Let's take some action. God is with us. God's word is true. Have some courage, pal. Haven't you heard God three times now? Be strong and courageous. God is with us. His word is true. He has a plan for us. Don't do what our forefathers did and run in fear. Embrace courage. Embrace the presence of God. Embrace the promise of God. Embrace the plan of God for your life. And act in courage in the face of your fear. And experience God's blessing in your life. Well, now what would that look like if we were to do that? What would that look like if you and I were to act in confidence? If we were to place our confidence in God, and if we were to take action in the face of our fear, to exercise simple acts of courage every day, what would that look like? Well, one of the things that it might look like is it might look like that you took a courageous step toward God yourself. That you personalized it. God's with us everywhere. But what does that mean when it comes to courage? To take a courageous step toward God. Maybe for some of you in here, that would be taking your very first step toward God. That you've, even though God's been all around you all your life, you never have entered into a personal relationship with Him. You never have taken a personal step toward God. And so your greatest act of courage would be to do that, to take your first step toward Him. To maybe for the first time in your life, just be honest about your relationship or lack thereof with God. Each Sunday, when the service is over, our elders and the men and women of our prayer team stand down here. And trust me, these folks would love to talk with you this morning about what it means to take a courageous step toward God for the first time and find a personal relationship with Him. That can happen. Today, that can happen for you. Or maybe you need to take a courageous step back to God. Maybe you already know Him. Maybe you already have a personal relationship with God, but really, if you were honest with yourself and God, you kind of moved away from that pretty significantly. And so today, your courageous step toward God would be one back to Him. He's waiting on that. He wants that. He wants to nurture that personal, interactive relationship with you in ways that you could never imagine. And so maybe for you, it's taking a step back toward God. But then we could take a courageous step of personal obedience. We could take a courageous step of personal obedience. We think about God's word. We think about obeying it all the time. Sometimes that looks like just taking the right path. I'm in God's word. I know what God wants me to do. I can go to the left or I can go to the right. And I choose the path that God wants me to. Because I've so saturated myself, my mind with His Word, that I know what God wants me to do, and I do it. I have the courage to take the right path. I have the courage at my office to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to God. What does God's Word say? Hey, whatever you, about our work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. What's He saying? He's saying, you know, you need to go back to work this week, and you need to serve your boss as though he was Jesus Christ. You need to serve your boss as though she was Jesus Christ. Paul says, it's the Lord God you're serving, not that person. Well, you know what? That takes some courage, because what's your natural fear? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that? Well, they'll take advantage of me. If they see me working wholehearted like that, doing things that some other people don't want to do, they'll take advantage of me. I'm fearful of that. Well, is God's Word true? Is God with you? Are His promises true? Do you think God might have a plan for your life that's bigger than that moment with your boss that He's trying to work out in you and maybe even in them? Take a courageous act of personal obedience and go down the right track. Or maybe you're off track. Maybe you're on the wrong track. And personal obedience would be getting off that track. Maybe you're engaged in a relationship that the fact that it's going anywhere means that it's already gone too far. And you have to take a courageous act to stop that. Maybe you're in a situation where you fear obedience to God's Word because what it'll cost you personally. You've heavily invested in one thing, and you know to move away from that means that you're going to lose a lot. Have the courage to believe that what God has in store for you is so much better and so much bigger than what you would leave behind. Have the courage to take a step of personal obedience. And then finally, let's talk about having the courage to take a step to spread the gospel. You know, Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life said that believers and seekers both feel the same way about evangelism. They hate it. You know, it makes you kind of nervous, doesn't it? Kind of fearful. But think about the possibilities of a life that stared the fear of sharing the gospel in the face. Think about the possibilities of taking a courageous act to share the gospel, to become intentional about your relational world for the purpose of evangelism. Think of what it would be like if you made a list of people that you knew needed a very personal relationship with God, and you committed to pray for everybody on that list each day. Think about what that would mean. Think about what that would do for your life. And then you began to ask God, God, open some doors. Open some doors for me to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ with these people. Open some doors to do that. And then, when God did it, you placed your confidence in God. You took action in the face of your fears. And somebody's life was changed forever because you faced your fear just to talk to a friend about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What if you took a simple act of courage just to talk to a friend about Christ? And you committed that with that list of people that every week you were going to talk to one person. Every week you were going to deal with one person during that 1 week. And you were going to see what God would do. It'd be powerful for you in learning courage. And it could be transformational with them. They too would spend eternity embraced in the presence of God, in the full experience of the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. Maybe it looked like taking a courageous step to spread the gospel, Not just across the street or across the cubicle, but across the world. This year, about 1 in 7 of you is going to participate in a global outreach trip of some kind somewhere in the world through Hill Country Bible Church. 14% of you are going to do that this year. But what if every one of you did that? What if over the next 3 to 4 years, every person in here was involved, not just in spreading the gospel across the street, but spreading the gospel across the planet? What kind of courage would that take for you? What kind of courage would it take for you to say, in the next 12 months, I'm going to be involved in a trip somewhere outside of Austin or somewhere into an area of Austin that I'm fearful to go? What would it take to have that kind of courage, to have that kind of confidence in God that caused me to take action to share the gospel in places that I might be scared to go? Take a courageous step to spread the gospel somewhere in the world. And tonight, when we get together, you know, my hope tonight is that everybody comes back and we have to figure out where everybody needs to go. But now listen. Do you have the courage to gather around a bunch of people who are excited about taking the gospel to the world? Or are you fearful that in that environment, God might tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, pal, how about you doing some of that next year? He might do that. Well, listen, everybody in here who's had that experience would tell you, look, I was kind of scared. But it's one of the best things I ever did for my growing relationship with Christ. So maybe for you, placing your confidence of God and taking action in the face of your fears looks like saying, God, in the next 12 months, I'm going to go. Now I need your help to help me figure out how to do that. But I'm going to go. Hey, fear is part of it. If there's no fear, we don't call it courage anymore. We just call it confidence. And it's a strong possibility that in some areas of your life where you're very fearful right now, God might replace that fear one day with confidence. Well, that'd be all right. But then there'll be other areas where you're fearful because God wants you to grow. And you grow when you place your confidence in God and you take action, even in the face of your fears. Let's pray together. Well, Father, every one of us in here can identify with that lion who jumped through the window. So scared of one thing that we do something crazy, not even knowing what's on the other side. Lord, I pray that we would be so engulfed by your presence, so aware of your presence, so saturated with your word and confident in your plan for our lives, that we would take action even in the face of our fears to do simple acts of courage each day of our life. That our light in that way would so shine before men that they would see our good deeds and praise you, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.